welcome to another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. As a former PRCA cowboy, Wes excelled in the rodeo arena and is now pursuing his calling to share God's Word that has literally transformed his life. As someone who has a heart to passionately pursue God in his daily life, his desire is to help others do so as well. The focus of his ministry is to bring people closer to God by living in and through the truths of God's Word. May you be blessed by the message from the Word of God that Wes has to share with you today.
I want to thank all of y'all for coming out and sharing God's Word. See, that letter right there, it explains that we're kind of short-term people. You know, we think about tomorrow or next week or maybe next month. But you see, God, He looks 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40, 50, 100, 1,000 years on down the line. I have run from that letter all my life, wondering why I wrote that letter. I had no earthly idea. But I finally had to start putting my eyes on the Lord. But tonight, I wanted to share something with you. It's a parable that I just didn't really understand for quite a while. And it's Matthew 13:44. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and for the joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. I didn't really understand that parable. That God was working with me for quite a while on that parable. What exactly does that mean? Then the other night I was sitting in church and my pastor, he said, the treasures of the Bible are hidden for us to find, not from us. And all of a sudden that unlocked that parable for me. So that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to dig in here, and we're going to find the hidden treasures of the Bible. So what am I going to teach on tonight? Well, tonight we're going to look at advancing the kingdom of God. I'm going to show you that being born again is one experience, and then I'm going to show you being filled with the Holy Spirit is another experience. There's two different experiences, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time in the book of Acts and everything. But before I get started, I love to bless people. And I want to bless my old buddy Stan here. Stan, what does it look like? What do you believe that is?
Money.
How much money?
$20.
You believe that's a $20 bill?
What do you think?
Looks like a 20, don't it? Feels like a 20. You take that 20. No, I want to give it to you.
You want it back later?
No. No. Now, you see, he believed that that was a $20 bill, and he received that 20 from him. That 20's yours. I blessed you. But let's keep that in mind tonight, that concept. Believe, receive. Believe, receive. Believe, receive. But before we go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father God, tonight give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, and a heart to receive your mighty word. We come to you in your Son's precious name, Jesus, the name that has authority over all. And Father God, I just pray for favor tonight among my friends and your children. Let it be you speaking through my spirit, not mine. Let this bring glory to you, only you, Father God. We just worship you and we praise you. God, direct our steps. We just pray tonight that your mighty word will be spoke in love and also authority. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name, our Lord and our Savior's name. Amen. So believe and receive. That's what we're going to keep in mind. You know, if I was to walk around and ask you in these last days, and a lot of the Bible scholars believe that we are in our last days. What is it that we cannot do without as Christians and believers of and followers of Jesus Christ. What is it we can't do without? Are you going to tell me the Bible? What about church? What about a preacher? Wonder if you couldn't be, those weren't available. One thing that we cannot do without is the presence of the Almighty God. You see, it's His presence that keeps us out of trouble. It's His presence that guides and directs our steps. It's our presence, or His presence we got to have inside us. You know, I can remember not too long ago, it's like there was always a little bitty, small, faint voice deep down inside of me that would say, Wes, don't say it. Or Wes, don't do it. But then there's always been this other voice that'd say, oh, I'd go ahead and get it off my chest. Or yeah, go ahead and satisfy yourself. But see, that voice was the one that always get me in trouble. But it's the presence of the Almighty God that we can't do without. So, you know, I always used to go to church. And boy, I could feel good for a day, maybe two. But then all of a sudden, the Spirit would leave me. And it's like, go back into the world, you know, and all the weight of the world, you know, work, whatever, bills, whatever. That Spirit would always leave me. But what about if the Spirit, the presence of the Almighty God, could get stronger and stay with you? Every day is church for me now. Every day. But John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave. Tonight, the title of this message is going to be called The Promise. The Promise of the Father. We're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Acts. But we're going to start here in our reading in Genesis 3:8. I'm going to be reading to you out of the New King James Version tonight. Genesis 3:8 says, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Matthew 1:23 says, and the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. We're going to take a look at Jesus right quick, our Lord and our Savior. Matthew 3:16, Jesus goes to the Jordan River and He gets baptized by John the Baptist. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit descended on Him in the form of a dove. He was led right then by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Matthew 4, each time that Satan come against Jesus, every time he refused the enemy, he said, for it is written, for it is written, for it is written. That right there tells you we got to stay in the Word. We got to know the Word. The more the Word, less of us. We got to get that Word inside us. Get it inside us. Luke 9 verses 1 and 2, it says, then He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure disease. Verse 2 says, He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now see, Jesus, He empowered His apostles. Sends them out two by two, preaching the kingdom of God, healing the sick, casting out demons. But you see, they weren't saved. They weren't saved. They knew Him. He was their friend. They see Him do mighty works. But salvation hadn't come yet. See, Jesus hadn't died and went to the cross yet. But Jesus then dies. He goes to the cross, dies, and on the third day he rose. And that's where we're going to pick up our reading here. We're going to start in Luke 24. And if you're following along with me in your Bibles here, Luke 24, verse 36. We're going to be looking at 36 and 39. Now, as they said these things, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And Jesus said, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." Now look, these apostles, they are all ganged up in one house. They are scared to death because that they think that they're going to be next. They got the doors locked and everything. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, he just appears. He said, "It's me, boys. Get your hands on me. Feel me. Here's a dead man walking and talking." 1 Corinthians 15:6 says he was seen at one time by over 500 people. A dead man walking and talking. He'd been dead for 3 days. But he says, "Get your hands on me. Feel my wounds. For a spirit don't have flesh and bone as I do." A dead man walking and talking. Now we're going to pick up this same setting in the Gospel of John. John 20. If you got your Bible, hold your place in Luke, though. We're going to come right back to Luke 24. But here in John 20, we're going to start reading right here in verse 19. Verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, 'Peace be with you.' When he said this, he showed them his hands and side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." Verse 21, "So Jesus said to them, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" Verse 22, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" He just breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. Underline that in your Bible. Receive. See, Brother Stan there, he received a $20 bill for me. Received a $20 bill. He breathed on his apostles and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." All right, now, right here in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water for repentance. But there's one coming after me who is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." That's three different baptisms: water, spirit, fire. We're going to cover those today. So, right here in we go back to Luke 24. Luke 24. Now we're going to go to verse 26. I mean, Luke 24, verse 46 through 47. All right. Right here. Jesus said, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem." So right there, Jesus himself is telling us, go into the world and preach repentance and remission. Well, what does remission mean? Let's see what Apostle Peter says here in Acts 2:38. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's that word again, receive. Same as Stan received a $20 bill. Received. We go back now to Luke 24, 48 and 49. And you will be witnesses of all these things. Jesus saying here to his apostles. Now remember, they've already got the Holy Spirit because he done breathed on them. Verse 49 says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. What is this promise of the Father? Well, let's take a look right here. Go a little deeper. Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts. But he says, do not leave Jerusalem. Tarry means leave, or tarry means wait. He's telling them, tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Well, we pick up right here in Acts 1:4. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. So here it's a commandment in Acts 1:4. He commands them to wait for the promise of the Father. Well, we've been thinking and taught all these years that on the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit come. Friends, Jesus' apostles already had the Holy Spirit. Why would he command them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father if it was just the Holy Spirit? They already had it. Does that make sense? That's what got my attention right there. They already had the Holy Spirit. He'd done breathed on them in John 20:22. Receive the Holy Spirit. But in here, Acts 1:4, he commands them to wait for the promise of the Father. All right, let's look here in verse 5. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 11:16, the Apostle Peter said, I remember the word, the Lord, and how he said it. John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John's already showed us two different baptisms, or three different baptisms. Jesus even said it. But we've been taught all these years in the churches on the day of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit. That was the day it come. Jesus breathed on his apostles in John 20:22. Said, receive the Holy Spirit. But Jesus commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. So now we're going to spend a little time in that book of Acts. And I'm going to show you in the book of Acts here the difference between receiving or being born again and receiving the Holy Spirit and being empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. See here on the day of Pentecost right here, Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Underline that in your Bible. Filled. Spirit, and they begin to speak with another tongue, and this, as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, Brother Stan here, he received a $20 bill from me, but I didn't fill his pockets full of $20 bills. Are you getting the picture? He received a $20 bill, but I didn't fill his pockets. But here in Acts 2, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled. All right, let's look here. We're going to go now to Acts 8. Acts 8. This here is Philip. And he is, Philip is preaching to the Gentiles, the Samaritans. In Acts 8, 4, it says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded in all things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out, and many who were possessed and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. All right, as we go on down here, skip down to verse 12. It says, whenever they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So that's where they were born again, right there, the Samaritans. They received the word from Philip. They were baptized. But now let's look on down here just a little bit further. Verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. There's that word again, that they might receive it. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. See right there is where they were. I mean, I had my water baptism, but nobody, they baptized me in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but nobody laid hands on me and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Let's go here to Acts 10 or Acts 9. The Apostle Paul. 9 verse 3, and it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, the Apostle Paul, he was on a mission. He'd been rounding up Christians, throwing them in jail, and I mean, he had documents to go to Damascus and get all of them. But then all of a sudden, a light shines on him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Listen to what Paul says here. And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's when the Apostle Paul was born again, right there. Because he recognized who Jesus was. He called him Lord. That's whenever we got to have that salvation experience. We realize that we got to have Jesus. We can't do it without him. That's when the Apostle Paul recognized who he was. Oh, he had heard of him, seen him and all this stuff, but he called him Lord. Lord, what must I do? Look here as we go right down here in Acts 9, 17, Ananias, he had a vision from God to go and he said, there's a man named Paul. He's praying. And he's on Straight Street. And so Ananias Well, I mean, I can read it right here. But arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one named Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. That's verse 11. Verse 17 down here says, And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now over here in Acts 2:4, it says that they begin to speak in other tongues as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, right here, it doesn't say that the Apostle Paul spoke in other tongues. But as we read in 1 Corinthians 14:18, the Apostle Paul says, I thank my God that I speak in tongues or pray in tongues or speak in tongues more than you all. So we're going to go back here and take a look at this. Back to chapter 8 here. Because it says right here, we're going to go down here and read just a little bit more. And whenever, in verse 18 it says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, and he offered them money. Now, who's this Simon he's talking about here? We go back to verse 9. It says, but there was a certain man called Simon who had previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all had heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Then it says in verse 13, then Simon himself also believed, and whenever he was baptized, he continued with Philip. And he was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now this Simon, this sorcerer guy, he tried to buy this power from the apostles, John and Peter. He had to have seen some kind of a physical sign. Otherwise he wouldn't offer the money. We can say, well, they had great joy. No, they already had great joy after they received the word. After they received the word of salvation through Jesus, they had great joy. So we can't say that they, what kind of sign was this Simon, the sorcerer, trying to buy this power for? What did he had to have seen something. All right, let's go right here now. We're going to go to Acts 10, verse 44 and 46. Acts 10, 44 and 46. Now Peter, he's preaching to Cornelius' household here. It says, when Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. What does magnify mean? Well, ain't you ever looked through a magnifying glass before? Things get a lot bigger. Let's read it again. And it's, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Wow. Let's look at the Apostle Paul in Acts 19. Acts 19. This is Paul at Ephesus. And when it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6 says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Well, it seems pretty clear to me, three times for sure in the Bible, that it says the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in another tongue. Now, the Apostle Paul, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. It don't say that he spoke with another tongue, but I mean in 1 Corinthians 14:18, he says, I thank God that I pray in tongues more than all. I mean, I'm a simple kind of guy. And I can grasp being filled with the Holy Spirit, but this tongue thing, I just couldn't get it. It scared me. You know, and I've had people ask me, well, what are you saying? Well, I'm just going to let the scripture speak. 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to be looking at verses 1, 2, and 4. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Verse 5 says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Okay, prophesying is better for us, but I want to tell you something. If a prophecy is going to prophesize over me, he better be filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, I would consider him a false prophet. A false prophet. But here, the apostle said, Apostle Paul said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Romans 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. You know, I want to tell you a little story right quick. It's just God getting a hold of me. You know, my friend Tony Shoulders, he called me back. Well, it was a year in February. He said, hey, you want to go to this Mighty Man's Advance Conference in South Dakota? I said, sure, let's go. You know, I'm hungry for the Lord. And I've had a kind of an Apostle Paul-like experience. I speak about that in one of my messages back there called Preparing the Way for the King. And Tony said, we're leaving. This is on Monday. He said, we're leaving on Wednesday. 2 days. So I go to Susie McIntyre's Bible study church deal down in Limestone Gap on Tuesday night. And that's the first time I ever seen Clay and Marsha. And I visited with them a little bit after the service, and Marsha gave me one of her CDs, and, you know, I thought, well, I'll never see him again, you know. Well, I go to that conference, and they did an altar call, said if you want to receive the gift of praying in spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, man, I go up there, and the Spirit give me utterance. But, you know, I mean, it's no big deal to me. I don't know nothing about it. We was gone 1 week, and the day we got back, Marcia called me. She said, I want to invite you to a praying in the spirit meeting on Friday night. Well, I'm like, how'd this woman get my phone number? I'm scared to death. But I just little voice saying, trust me, trust me. So I go to it, and that's the first time I met Bob and Betty Cohn. They didn't know who I was, but they had been praying for me 5 or 6 years ago whenever I was living in total darkness. They knew my sister-in-law, and my sister-in-law had them to pray for me. And then all of a sudden, I just walked through the doors. They give me this book by Brother Dave Roberson called Walking the Spirit, Walking the Power. And I read that book, and I just started applying to it because I didn't know nothing about what I was doing. But I want to give you 10 good reasons why we need the tongues. See, tongues is a tool. Not only did God send his son to die for us, not only did he send the spirit, but he sent a prayer language along with it. Reason number one, it says, well, you know, for me, everybody knows about getting online anymore, chatting or whatever. For me, it's like getting online with God, chatting with God all the time. You know, I stay online with God all the time. But number one, it clearly states in the Bible that the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is praying in it, being able to, the Spirit giving you utterance in another tongue. That's clearly the evidence. Now, everybody's got their own opinion and theory or whatever, but see, I'm a simple kind of guy. I got to have it simple. You know, I ain't ever claimed to be the brightest apple on the tree or the sharpest nail in the tool bag. But I'm just going to stick with the Word of God. And it clearly states, being filled, you spoke with another tongue. That's the number one reason. Number two, building yourselves up on most holy in faith. Building yourselves up in faith. You know, a friend of mine, Leon Adams, he's a very wise man, and he was telling me, because man, I was mad, I was a messed up unit. And he said, I want to tell you, but let me think about how I want to say this, that I don't hurt your feelings or whatever, but he said, you have got to start letting the Lord work for you. And I got to ask myself, how do I get confidence in God? I just didn't have no confidence in him at all. But then I get to reading the Bible, and this word faith just keeps jumping out at me. So I put faith in this hand and confidence in this hand. They basically weigh the same thing, mean the same meaning. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. We gotta get in the word. We gotta hear the word. We gotta be consumed by the word. But Jude 20 says building up your most holy faith and praying in the spirit. I know that since I've received that gift, that promise, it's charged me up. I mean, it's made all the difference in the world, but you got to have a balance of the word as well. But number three, keeps us aware of God's presence at all times. Because if you got your mind, you're praying in the spirit, you got your mind up on the Lord, you're thinking about God all the time. Number four, keeps us from only thinking of ourselves. See, that's a big problem I had to deal with, was being selfish. Thinking of myself, nobody but myself. If you'll stop and look at every time that you've sinned or whatever, you'll find out that sin is selfish. Most of the time, whenever you're sinning, you're only thinking of yourself. Number five, helps you to trust God more. Trust God. See, we got to believe. You know, Not only having faith, but we got to believe. There are two different things. You can have faith in something, but do you believe that God's going to work for you? Do you believe God's going to heal you? Do you believe God's going to get you that job? Do you believe that God's going to send you what you need or what you've been praying about? You got to believe. Believe and receive. Number six, it keeps us free from worldly condemnation. You see, we go out there and you work hard all day outside or whatever, and you get dirty. You're going to have to take a shower. Same thing with being a part of this world. I mean, you walk around, you go to the grocery store or just wherever there's somebody cussing or whatever, that stuff gets on you. When you pray in the spirit, it's like taking a spiritual bath. We gotta keep clean. Gotta keep clean. Number seven, to pray for things that we're not aware of. See, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14, one there says, we pray out mysteries. Pray out mysteries. We just be praying to God, and we might be praying for something, standing in the gap for somebody. Number eight, gives our spirit rest. Man, I've been through so much spiritual warfare. I mean, having to deal with so many different things and just basically miserable doing what I wanted to do. Once I received the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's just leveled me out. Things that used to bother me don't bother me no more. Things that when the devil comes against me, I just resist it. You know, I'm still young, but I'm getting stronger every day. But it really gives you spirit rest. Number nine, gives thanks to the Lord. See, it said over there that whenever they magnified God, magnified Him. Give thanks to the Lord. And number 10, you're yielding your tongue to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what James 3:8 says. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So I realize I was speaking about that in one of my messages back there called We Are the Vessels. That, man, devil used to have my hold of my tongue all the time. But now I let the Lord use it. But I'm going to give you a bonus reason. Why do we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why do we need to be empowered with power from up on high, to be endued with it, to be filled? Because 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I know a little bit of how he operates. I used to run with him. Here's what the old devil says. He says, oh, these so-called Christians, I don't care if they have their water baptism. I don't even care if they go to church. Because, you see, America has become a pagan nation because they don't love thy Lord, thy God, with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their strength. They love their sports. They love their homes. They love their money. They love all this other stuff, their trailers, their animals, or whatever. They love them more than they love thy Lord, thy God, with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Oh, they don't abide in God's word, and God's word don't abide in them. What I'll do is I'll make sure that they don't get that white robe of righteousness. I'll dirty their garments. Whenever I overtake these so-called Christians, I'll rename them. I'll give them a new name, like alcoholic, drug addict, divorced, adultery, fornicator, pervert, pedophile, prostitute, liar, thief, murderer, arrogant, prideful. I can go on and on and on. But you see, the reason we need the promise of the Father, which is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, is so that we can walk in the anointing and in the power and in the presence of the Almighty God in this fallen world. That's the reason that we need to be endued with power upon high. Because, man, the devil, he's renamed me several times. He's took all my stuff I worked hard for. And I'm stepping on his head today. And if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just come see me or Marcia. And we'll walk you through it. But I'd also, if you're already spirit-filled and somebody comes forward, I don't mind you standing around them, praying in the spirit, but this is kind of like getting on a bull for the first time. You see, they need to just keep their mind upon the Lord and listen to me or listen to Marsha, because when somebody's getting on a bull for the first time, they got about 10 guys trying to tell them what to do. Can't take it all in. But friends, so what do we look at tonight? There is two different experiences of being born again and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Two separate experiences, and the evidence of being filled is speaking in another tongue. The tongue thing, I just couldn't grasp for a long time, but I pray in the Spirit all the time. And you know, you might say, "Oh, Wes Ward's a holy roller now." Well, I like to say, if you knew why I was rolling, you'd be rolling with me too. Thank you, and God bless you.
This has been another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. Our prayer for you is that you've been helped through the Word of God that we were able to share with you today. The heart of Wild West Ministries is to bring people closer to God through His living Word. If you would like to contact Wes to find out more about his ministry, to receive more of his teachings, or if you're interested in having him as a guest speaker, you can contact him by phone at 903-249-1250. That's 903-249-1250. Or at 580-927-3007. That's 580-927-3007. Or you can email Wes at 3wward@gmail.com. That's 3wward@gmail.com. God bless you.